Are we ready for tonight? Are we ready tonight? Yes. Amen. First of all, I want to say a very big thank you to the pastorate. Thank you to Setman. Thank you to every member of the pastorate for this opportunity. May the Lord richly bless you and strengthen you on every side. Amen. You are helping me to take baby steps, and we're growing gradually. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Our dear Lord, we thank you for tonight. We bless your name. We thank you because as we look into your word, Father, we gain strength. Father, we gain that very posture that helps us to grow in the capacity wherein you have blessed us. And Lord, we will become better children, and we will run with this in the name of Jesus. Glory be to your name, Father. Thank you because I yield myself as an instrument to be used by you. None of my words, Lord, only yours. To the hearing of your people and the blessing of lives that we hear this now and in the future. To you be your glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, tonight we'll be looking at godly posture. Godly posture. Hallelujah. Godly posture. First, let's look at posture. What is posture? I know as I mentioned the word posture, some of us are beginning to remember how a photographer will come to your house and take you pictures, right? What is posture? Hallelujah. Amen. Posture is simply the position in which you stand, either stand, sit, or lie down. It's a posture. Amen. Amen. The position in which you hold yourself while standing, sitting, or lying down. Now, let's take it a step further. We have good postures. We were taught about good postures even in school. They say there's a way to sit. There's a proper way to sit. Amen. There's a proper way to sit. You hear some people when they sit, after a very long time in the office, they complain about aches and all that. So there's a proper way to sit. There's a way I will sit and I drive for a very long time. I begin to have pains. And so sometimes I need pillow to adjust myself. So there is a proper posture. There's a good posture. Amen. Now, good posture, like I wrote here, good posture involves training your body to stand, walk, sit, or lie down in such a way that you are not mounting so much pressure on your muscles or your ligaments. Amen. In such a way that you are just placing the least pressure on your muscles or ligaments while you are moving or performing weight-bearing activities. That's good posture. Now, this brings us back home to our topic for tonight. What is godly posture? We have seen what posture is. We have seen good posture. What is godly posture? When we say godly posture, for me, it simply means God's posture. When you say godly posture, it simply means God's posture. What's God's posture? Hallelujah. God's posture is simply obeying God and keeping his commands. Hallelujah. It's loving one another in the same way that God loves us. That's his godly posture. Hallelujah. One of the easiest ways you will understand that we can express godly posture, if we were to take physical pictures, like we want to bring a photographer now to come take us pictures, you know, there are things you would do to make the picture look good. Who can help me with some of the things we can do to make the picture look good? You want to dress well, you want to obey the photographer and allow him arrange you. That's why they say it's only a photographer and your barber or your hairdresser that can turn your head anyway. Say, do your face like this. You don't have a choice. They say smile. Even when you don't need to, you will smile. Say, because you want the picture to come out well. Smile, smile, smile. They will tell you, fake it. Just smile like you are happy, even when you are not happy. Because you want a good posture. You want a good picture to come out of that. Amen. In the same way, worship is changing our priorities to what God would have us do. So worship is a way of expressing godly posture. Amen. And what we're talking about is not the position that you see set man take when he wants to pray, or the position you see Pastor Muyiwa take when he wants to pray. Pastor Muyiwa can sit at the back there at that technical stand. He can sit down and do like this, and he's praying for 1 hour. Set man can be pacing around, walking about and praying. Pastor Bolaji could kneel down here and pray for 1 hour. We're not talking about that position. That's not what we're talking about. From the heart, it's a thing of the mind. We're talking of something of the heart. The expression, hallelujah. It's more of the mind thing. It's more of the state of the heart. Hallelujah. Amen. So worship, like I said, is changing our priorities to what God would have us do. Worship is following Christ. Of course, worship is a posture. Hallelujah. Worship is a posture. Amen. Worship is a posture. The position of worship is a life pleasing to God. Worship is following Christ. The position of worship, the posture of worship, is a life pleasing to God. So, like I said, godly posture is not about the position you take when you want to sing, the way you do your mouth. It's not about that. It's a thing of the heart. Amen. Okay, let's look at our anchor scripture. We'll be looking at 2 Corinthians. The book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 12 to 18. That's our anchor scripture. Okay, we'll take it from verse 12. It says, since we have such glorious hope, such joyful and confident expectation, we speak very freely and openly and fearlessly, nor like Moses, nor do we act like Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze upon the finish of the vanishing splendor which had been upon it. In fact, their minds were grown hard and calloused. They had become dull and had lost the power of understanding. For until this present day, when the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, is being read, that same veil still lies on their hearts, not being lifted to reveal that in Christ it is made void and done away. Yes, down to this very day, whenever Moses read, a veil lies upon their minds and hearts. But whenever a person turns in repentance to the Lord, talking to our generation now, the veil is stripped off and taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Amen. How many of us have read this before? That where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I know we've all seen it. You've not seen it? Okay. That where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Emancipation from bondage. Freedom. Verse 18, which is the very place we're looking at. It says, and all of us, as with unveiled faces, and all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured. I think another version said transformed, are being metamorphosed into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Amen. What he's simply saying is, from verse 12, what he's saying is that, remember when Moses, there was a time Moses had an encounter with God, where he had to go meet God on the mountain. And then when he came back, his face shone, his face was glowing. They couldn't behold the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord radiating all over him. It was so much, it's just like bringing you out and saying you should look at the sun. How many of us can stand and look at the sun? Nobody. So that's how it was. They couldn't behold Moses' face. He had to cover his face with a veil just so they could stand that presence, that overwhelming presence. He says that even till today, whenever that place is being read, most of them still had that veil on their hearts, on their minds, still clouded with that very, like, you know, there are people till today who are believers, they will still say, in our village, they will tell you that, where I am from. They forget that you have been transformed. You are from Zion. You are from Zion because you are born of the word. You have become a transformed child. You have become a transformed person. You are not the person you used to be. Amen. So some of them will still brag. I am from Ogbomosho. And our people, did they get hot temper? Where? So they will be bragging. Even with that, people from my place, no, you don't know. You don't know. They will brag with it. Some will brag with their temper. In my family, will they get hot temper? That's not who you are. You have become a transformed person. Amen. He said, but we with unveiled face, we have, because we look at God's word just like we look in a mirror, what we see is Christ, the very express image of Christ. I see Christ, I see me. I see Christ, I see me. Hallelujah. That's what it's meant to be. So what posture do you assume? What's the posture? What's in your mind? What picture do you have? Many of them still have that veil in their minds today. Some feel, that's why you hear some people still say, they are born again, though. You will still hear them say, I am but a filthy rag. I am but a filthy rag. They think they try to make God look great by degrading or downplaying on who they are. No. If God's word, which is the mirror we should look at, says that we have been bought with a price and he treasures us so much. He has called us his own. We are his sons. We are his workmanship. We are his own. We are the sheep of his pastures. Hallelujah. You cannot call curse what God has called blessed. So he has blessed us and he has called us his own. It's wrong for us to begin to say, I'm but a filthy rag. Even when they are praying and praying in the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Ghost in them and all that God has put, all the treasures God has put in, they will still say, call themselves filthy rag. Hallelujah. Mind your posture. Mind your posture. Let's look, let's see the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Amen. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decision, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Remember I said worship is a posture, hallelujah, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Amen. Verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed. Tell somebody next to you, transformed. Be transformed. Tell somebody, be transformed. Amen. Amen. But be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Hallelujah. We are not trying to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We are already a living sacrifice. That's what this place is actually telling us. So God is not telling you to do what you are not or what you cannot do. He's not trying to tell you to want to try to be. He's only reminding us, he's only drawing our attention to stand in the capacity in which he has blessed us with. Hallelujah. Remember, the price has been paid for us already. So we ought to have been transformed. The provision has been made for us to be transformed. So he's reminding us where we ought to be. Hallelujah. Amen. So what I see here, where he said, be not conformed. Be not conformed. He's talking about that we should not approve or allow the things of the world to be what dictate for us or what leads us or what drives us. Do you know, people, a lot of lives have been destroyed. A lot of marriages have been destroyed because people want to sample opinions of the world. So the world is doing it this way. Everybody wants to go this way. No. We are children of light. So we stick with what the word of God says. The word of God is our manual that governs our lives. Hallelujah. So somebody came and said, in his marriage, in his home, what he does is, I cannot have the same bank account with my wife. For what? What's bringing that nonsense? And then, even children of God too, they follow suit. We follow examples that we glorify God, that we beautify the family, and make everyone that sees it want to give God praise. Hallelujah. We don't walk, we don't do things the world's ways. Because that's what's causing chaos everywhere. Because the world does not understand love as we understand it. Amen. How does the world understand love? To the world, love is selfish. To the world, what they see as love is having a kind of funny feeling for someone. So if you love me, you will do anything. So if I say jump, you jump because you love me. That's how they understand it. No. The word of God says, when you love, you are the one who gives. Amen. Hallelujah. So we interpret and run with what the word of God says and not what the world says. Hallelujah. If we run with what God's word says, we have redemption, we have blessings, we have all that we need to get. But if we run with what the world is doing or what they say, we are putting ourselves in trouble. Because they do not understand God's word. And they cannot be the ones interpreting God's word for us. To the world, they see love as, okay, we're going out. We're doing shopping. And then you go and you buy all that you need to buy. And then, and those are the people that interpret and say, for better for stay, for worse for go. And then we say we are, no, we can't copy that. We can't copy that. Because God's word will tell you something contrary. He will tell you that there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. God's word will tell you that it's not about what you have or what you don't have. God loves you anyway. Even while we were yet sinners, according to Romans 5:8, he said he loved us that he died, even for the ungodly. So they cannot understand the love language. They cannot understand it. That's why we can't get it from them. We can't allow them to detect or interpret for us. We have God's word clearly and truly interpreted for our understanding. When we run with it, we get mighty results that are glorifying to the name of our Father. Amen. So like I said, we're not trying to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We are already a living sacrifice. So we keep ourselves as he has told us. We are meant to be pure. No wonder the book of 1 Peter. Is it 1 Peter or 2 Peter? Let's see what he said. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, it's 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So it's a price he had already paid. Ours is just to live the life. We are chosen, set apart, called out, separated, cleansed, blessed, ordained, given everything, to the point that he said, you are blessed with all blessings. What else are you looking for? Hallelujah. So God did not say, make your body holy. He said, acknowledge that your body is already holy. Hallelujah. Remember, even when as a child of God, you have funny feeling like you're not feeling fine or you're having some sort of ailment and all that, you are not the sick trying to be healed or trying to be well. You are the one that God has made whole already. You are the healed already that the devil is trying to make sick. So the posture of your mind based on God's word matters a great deal. It matters a great deal. That's why we must mind what we think. Somebody just say, if I just break this bank now, if I feel break into this bank now, just carry all the money now. What you carry your thing, you go there. He wants money. Mind what you think. Mind your thoughts. Guard your thoughts. It matters. It's a posture. Because you're creating something in your mind. You're creating a picture in your mind. If God did it in a way that whatever you're thinking right now can just be developed and it will just manifest. Like a negative, you know, the way they do it those days when you snap a picture and they take it to the lab, convert it from negative to the real picture that you see, card, postcard. You can imagine what many people will be having. So you just stand here in front of Collins and you just see Collins' mind. We've just seen everything bare, open. You just see, just a thinker, I won't take, break that bank there and just open the vault and just collect all the money that is there and just go to Dubai and flex. So we must guard our thoughts. We must guard our hearts very well. Very, very important. Very, very important. Because if you guide your mind, you will guide your life. Amen. Because right thinking will produce right believing. And right believing will produce right confession. Watch people who confess some things that they confess. It's as a result of what they're already thinking, your thought life, the things you're thinking. I met somebody once who said, and I was thinking, since 2 days I've been thinking about that, I've been thinking about it. I'm feeling somehow. I'm thinking about it that I will fall sick. And before you knew it, she was already sick. She thought about it and spoke it, and she experienced it. She fell sick. And now you are coming to pastor, to come and meet pastor to pray. I wish pastors would be allowed to hook a book and flog some senses into some people. Because the word of God says you are ensnared. You snare yourself by your thoughts. You put yourself in captivity by your thoughts. You are caged by your thoughts. Watch the things that you think about predominantly. The things that you think about mostly. I mean, as believers, there's nothing wrong in thinking right thoughts. Think of good things. I'm a love child of a love God. When you think it, and you talk it, confess it. Before you know it, you begin to see some things happen around you. Good things, positivity around you. Why? Because you are confessing what you're thinking about, what you have read from the word of God that you're thinking about, you're meditating on, and then you confess it. It becomes a reality around you. It creates a world around you. I cannot be sick. I live in health. I'm blessed. You begin to speak things. What do you say predominantly all through your day? Even as you're in the office. I've learned something. I'm working. I'm at work and I'm doing something. And I'm praying under my breath. The next person would not even know. I'm praying. Yesterday, I went to work and somehow I just parked somewhere. Even when I told my wife where I was, I'm sure she was surprised because I parked on Aturashi Estate, just a corner before you branch to Pastor Miwa's place. But I was just there, and I just parked opposite Christ the King. I just parked there. It was in the evening. It was drizzling. I could drive, but I was just led by the Spirit. I just parked there, and I switched off the car, and I just started praying. After about 45 minutes, I noticed that there was a car, when I was about to leave, there was a car opposite me that came to do this. The car wasn't there when I was there, when I came in. And the car was there. As I was passing, I just put on my music. I was still praying in tongues and going. The guy, I heard he was praying. Apparently, he came there to pray. I just don't know how. Accidentally, so I was laughing. I said, wow, this is good. But I enjoyed myself. About 45 minutes spent praying. Have you ever had time to stop doing what you're doing or stop something and you just pray? I think I was traveling one time too like that. I just felt that nudge within me. It's at one of these toll gates where you normally would have custom people and all that. I pull over and I just felt the nudge too. It's good. It's good. Amen. You are at work or whatever, you are home or whatever, you can just dash, go into the toilet. Me, I like toilet too. I like doing it in the bathroom. It helps me. Because I just stay there, no distraction, nothing. Nobody's looking for me. If they look for me, they'll think I've gone out. And I'm just there having a swell time with the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can do it. It's a posture. Sometimes we just need to withdraw ourselves from the distractions of the world and just spend time. Lock yourself in. I just begin to pray. Pray in the spirit. It helps you. It charges you. It keeps you charged. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you think good thoughts, I think we were told in Bible school how the Wesley brothers, I think it's Charles and John, I was shocked how people would devote their time because they want to help a community. They went studying medicine, and then from there, they didn't stop there, went study law, just so they could help the people fight a good cause. If you spend time with the Holy Spirit, if you spend time with the Holy Ghost, there are ideas of what you are supposed to do, what you are supposed to be working on, that will come effortlessly. You don't need to struggle for it. It will just come effortlessly. There are ideas that will hit you. Even where you are right now, is not the best place for you. God knows the way and how to take you to the next level. But if you don't spend time with Him, how would you know? So spending time with him will help you gain a lot in terms of knowledge. It will help you gain mastery. It will help you gain a whole lot that will help you, that will help take you to the next level. I've experienced something sometimes where you need XYZ, but you don't know how to get it. But spending time with the Holy Ghost just brings that connection that you're supposed to go somewhere, there's a disappointment, you couldn't go, and someone just walks in, and that's just exactly what you need. You need that connection. And somehow, you're talking about what you need to do. And you say, that's why I came. And before you know it, you have gotten that thing that you're looking for, that you would have struggled to go and get, by just being in the right place, where his presence. Amen. It gives you that opportunity into that atmosphere that makes things easy. Our people say, siriri-wiriri. It's just like giving you the expo that you need. It gives you. And you're like, people will be asking, how did you do it? How did you do it? How did you know that it's going to be like, it's coming from somewhere. Those days when I didn't know, I would say something, until Seth correct. He said, it's not something, it's the Holy Spirit at work doing that. Because I've had courses of, I just get to some places, something like, I've been here before. And really, all of my life, I've never been there before. But you are seeing a picture, a reflection of something that the Spirit of God has shown you on your inside before. It has also happened to me in another way where I was just passing somewhere. And what I perceived something like, there's this particular stew scent that I perceived, that the aroma of that stew, I started thinking, I know it's coming from somewhere. I just remember that I've seen it somewhere before. Some of this is sometimes it's not in a dream, but you just know somewhere, and they will be saying, something they tell me, it's not something. The Spirit of God is trying to draw your attention. He said, boy, come, you need to spend time with me. Come, spend time with me. I've got some things to show you. But if you don't listen, if you don't learn to pay attention, you will miss it and you will miss out. Amen. I remember one time we were in school in Enugu, and I was to come home. I was going to Delta from Enugu, and I got to the park very early. I had paid for my ticket, and then I went to ease myself, and I came back. Somebody sat on my seat. I always love to sit on the front seat. Someone sat on my seat. I was very angry. I was very, very angry because I told the guy, I said, come down. I said, that's my seat. He said, and they write your name for you, and blah, 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 and all that. He wouldn't come down. It was almost causing trouble. So, I was going to say something he just said. So I think it's just the Spirit of God that was just trying to caution me and say, let go. I just let go. I just took a bike, went back home. I said, so I will not travel because of this. I said, maybe there's another bus. I came back again, and I waited, boarded the next bus, and we started going. Inside me, I was still feeling bad because I was already calculating that if I had left with the first bus, at least we'll get to Onitsha on time. And then I will get home on time, because when we get to take you from Enugu to Onitsha, and then from Onitsha, you will now board, you cross over to Asaba and take another vehicle going to Sapele. So I want to get home on time. Of course, when they know you are coming, they have prepared something at home. You know that kind of thing. You don't want to miss that kind of, especially if it's Banga soup and starch. You know, it's my favorite. You don't want to miss it. So that joy of going home, I want to go home. I was already feeling bad. This guy had made me. And because of that, I did not take that bus. See how sometimes some people go vest, leave their blessing. So I vest, I can't come out, go out, can't come back. The bus not full, no space again. I had to wait for a second bus. I didn't know that the Lord was saving me from something. At the time we got to somewhere around Oka, I saw that very bus. You will not believe. I repented in my heart. I was just saying, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. I saw that same bus. Wig, the one side. Bags, things. The bus was a total wreck. If you walk with the Spirit of God, you will not struggle with some things of the world. Because in the eyes of the world, time they pass you. In the eyes of the world, it looked like foolishness. Even when the scripture says, if someone gives you here, turn the other side, he give you boost. Turn this side, me give you bass. Ah, he said, no, that will make me look like a fool. And he said, and be that fool. That's his word. Very recently, one guy, I was driving. What did he do? He hit me, hit my car. So I came down. I looked at the man very closely. I looked at him. Okay, went to the island. I can't remember what we went to do. So I was with my wife, and the guy hit my mirror. So he left. He didn't even bother to say if he had said sorry. I would have. So he didn't say anything. So I look. You know that kind of thing. Your eyes will not go from the car. I kept looking at the car until I caught up with him, passed him. So thank God there was traffic. There was a traffic light came on, and the red light came on, so we all had to wait. So I just parked close to him, and I looked at him. I just brought down my glass, and I looked at him. I said, so he was looking at me. So I looked at the mirror. I touched the mirror. I adjusted it. So I said, you didn't say anything. He said, what do you want me to say? I said, so you couldn't even say sorry. So my wife was saying, leave him. What would the story do for you? So I entered my vehicle back and I closed the door. So he drove to where I was and he said, sorry. I just laughed. You know why I laughed? If to say I beat him, maybe he don't say sorry now. The beating, will it solve anything? Will it fix the mirror? No. Several times we are taking certain self-decision. We take leave of the Holy Spirit, just take certain self-decision. That will not amount to anything, that will not take us anywhere good, that will not take us anywhere productive, but it will just make us miss the mark. Sometimes it has even spoiled a lot of relationships for us. And then what's meant to be, I'll give us another example, something that happened to someone. She was actually going for an interview. So there's a man whose vehicle was bad. I think he had a flat tire, so he was trying to fix the tire. So this lady was driving and passed, and just it was raining and splashed water on the guy. So the guy said, why? And she said, get out. And she just drove off. She left. 2 hours later, she was rushing for an interview. When she got there, guess who she saw? This very man she had insulted, that she splashed water on and insulted. What would that? She had the best of credentials, but she didn't get that job. May God help us in Jesus' name. Let's look at another scripture as we get ready to close. Acts chapter 20. May God not allow us to make certain decisions that will spoil the road that's meant to be a blessing for us. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. This is one thing that will help us take a good posture. God's word. He says, and now, brethren, I commit you to God. I deposit you in his charge, entrusting you to his protection and care. And I commend you to the word of his grace, to the commands and counsels and promises of his unmerited favor. It is able to build you up and to give you your rightful inheritance among all God's set apart ones, those consecrated, purified, and transformed of soul. Hallelujah. Amen. Like I prayed, I said, may God not make us miss great things on our way because we are too anxious, because we are too eager to either revenge. Someone has done you bad. Yes, they wronged you. But the word of God says forgive. It says love. Pray for your enemies. No, we don't pray for our enemies to die. I hope you know. In SGA, we don't pray for our enemies to die. We pray for mercy. We pray that God would have mercy on them. We show them love because we live according to the scriptures. When you pray that all your enemies should die, maybe they should die. They die and leave only you for the earth. Now only you inherit the earth with JW people. So you will enjoy the earth. God's word is able to build you up and give you your rightful inheritance amongst God's set apart ones. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll do an exercise right now, even as we get set to close. One of the things we can do to practically see, I don't mind us taking baby steps. We can be doing it small. In my place, in our local parlance, they say, jete by jete, small. How do they talk for Yoruba? When you say small. Dear. We can take it dear. So, even if today, all you can do is pray small. You pray in tongues, you do 20 minutes. Hey, glory to God. Another time, before you know it, it has come to 40 minutes. Before you know it, it's 1 hour. Before you know, you can pray 2 hours long. All the people you see praying, all the spiritual giants you see praying today, praying for hours, they didn't start in one day. It's a gradual process. Amen. Those you see living in love, the way that is so shocking to the world, that people, do you know that there are things you can do? And some people say, Brother Sunday, you just left him to go like that. You say, yes, somebody just bashed your car. And then you say, don't worry, you can go. And then somebody's looking and say, in Lagos, he should go. When there is a panabita there that will just come give you cost, nana, let him pay. He say, you should go. They will not understand what is driving you. The love force on your inside is different. It's not the way the world thinks. Amen. Hallelujah. So we can begin to take baby steps and grow to mature manhood. Amen. What are baby steps? We can begin by practically thinking and saying it and living it. Hallelujah. I am a love child of a love God. I live a life of love everywhere I go. I practice forgiveness. Yes. And as you are saying it, you will be doing it. Somebody do you something, say, me. Now me. Go and ask of me. No. Not when somebody does something and then you say, if I curse you, go and ask. My word, they come to pass. If I curse you. But you will express love because God is love. And out of his love, he has blessed. The Bible says, his love is shed abroad in our hearts. Hallelujah. We are compared with that life. That's the kind of life we live. Amen. Amen. So we can stand up on our feet right now. We begin to pray. I'm a love child of a love God. I practice love everywhere I go. The posture of my heart is based on the word of God. The posture I assume is godly posture. I live a life of love. I live a life of patience. I live a life of forgiveness. I practice God's word everywhere I go. I live this life that is encompassing with God's word. This life that is full of God's word. Yes, everywhere I go, I practice the word. I'm a peacemaker. I make peace everywhere I go. I live a life of love. I will not do anything that is not written in God's word. I will pattern my life. I will fashion my life. I will live a life conformed according to God's word. Conform to God's word. Everywhere I go, I exhibit the character of Christ. Christ. I exhibit the character as written in God's word. I want to be the next Bible that someone will see and read. When anyone sees my life, they see God's word and they read me like a Bible, like the scriptures. Paul said we are the epistle of the now. We are Bibles. People don't need to carry physical Bible. They see us and they just see God. They see God's character. They see God's image. They see God's lifestyle. When we open our mouth to speak, we speak peace. We speak things that are edifying. We speak things that are encouraging. And just like he said in the word, in Joshua 1:8, he said, This word, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. I'll meditate on God's word day and night, so that it will cause my life to metamorphose into that very express image of Christ that I see in my mirror, in the mirror of God's word. I make effort to do what is written on the word, that my life gets transformed so that I will have good success. Thank you, Jesus. Even as you cause the posture of our hearts, of our lives, to be transformed according to your word. Thank you, Jesus.